Hello, everybody. Welcome to Conversations with Kevin. Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Conversations. This is a big one for me. This is a very special treat. Today, our guest is going to be the new head coach of the University of Wyoming Cowboy football team, Mr. Jay Sauvel, and he's the 33rd Wyoming football coach in history. He's so busy. We're very pleased to have him. Coach, welcome.
Thank you.
Coach Bowl told me one day that if you want to get out of coaching, be a head coach. And so I know you've been speaking to legislators and all kinds of different things. Is it more than you expected? Is it about what you had in mind?
I think the biggest thing with it is that it's a way different job. You go from being an assistant to a coordinator. You basically do the same things. You just slid over one seat. You go from a coordinator to be a head coach, and going to events, going to San Diego to speak to an alumni function for the UW Foundation, speaking in front of the legislature in Cheyenne, kind of all those things. And then all the other, questions that you get asked about that really they are your path and decision. We get asked so many questions with equipment, get so many asked questions with what we need to order for this and that. And there's just a lot of different layers to it that it's just a way different job. I love it. There's not been a part that I've so far that I've been, hey, this is out of place or I don't feel comfortable with. So far, it's just way different, but I really like it with where it is right now.
I want to talk to you about so many things, but just the guys that you've observed in that spot. I know the there's pressure to it. The decisions you make are so incredibly far reaching for players, fans, publics. But the guys that you've worked with, and you can talk to us about them, they're some of the great names in college football. I would assume you took a little piece from each one of those, or did you take something from one guy maybe more than another?
Well, I think there's a combination that you're always going to take from all the people that had a chance to work for, and I've been blessed. My first job was for Roy Kidd at Eastern Kentucky University. It was kind of unique because the stadium was named after him while he's still coaching there. That's not something that's normal. And I love Coach Kidd. He passed away this past fall. And actually, to be honest, when he did, it was it made for a little bit of a tough week in the fact that, I had thought that previous spring I needed to figure out a time to go to Richmond to see him and his wife at some point to essentially just thank him for everything. What I learned most from him was how to be highly competitive as a coach, and he was, but still be a tremendous person. He may be the best human that I've ever come across in coaching. I love that man. And, went to work at Notre Dame after that for Lou Holtz in his last year at Notre Dame. And it was just interesting how, he dealt with teams and how he had certain philosophies to things. I thought that was outstanding. Of course, I played for Larry Karras at Mount Union College, who has the all-time, best winning percentage in college football history. And I think there's a set of foundation and philosophy that come out of that, I would never trade. I saw the transition then from when Lou Holtz retired and Bob Davey took over as the head coach at Notre Dame and all the different things that when a new head coach comes into a situation like that, how that worked and how that went. And I thought there was a lot to learn out of all that. I worked for Jerry Kill for 15 years. And I think, through his tree, right, he was Dennis Franchione, Gary Patterson, Jerry Kill, like that group of people. You know, there was a system and a standard of how to rebuild programs. You know, that's what I was with Coach Kill. We went to Southern Illinois. It was a train wreck when we got there. We brought people on visits and never showed them the stadium and never showed them the weight room. We were a maroon and white school, and the maroon and the weight room floor had faded so bad that it was pink. We didn't want anybody to see our weight room. And so you just had to figure out ways to win in places. Wasn't any different when we went to Minnesota from when we left Northern Illinois. So I really took a lot from that. You know, I worked for Dave Clawson for a couple of years at Wake Forest. It was a way different experience. But there was things there that you learn in all situations. You know, working for Coach Bowl the last, you know, 4 years, it was real easy to see the level of success that he had and why he had that level of success. So I've been blessed. I'm fortunate. And so there is a combination of everybody that you kind of pull into certain things within your own personality. And I'm very hands-on. I'm very player-oriented. I think that's the strength that I have. I'm people-related. I'm people-oriented. And I think that's the strength that I have.
So when you entered the business, were you going to eventually be a head coach? Is that what the plan was? Or as you went through this journey, did it kind of say, you know, I want to do that. I want to be a head coach.
So when I was in high school, you know, both my middle brother, I've got two brothers and not my oldest, but my second oldest brother, I guess. We both played for the same head high school coach, a guy named Bill Daller. It was probably when I was eighth grade to freshman to sophomore in high school, I knew I wanted to coach. And part of it was I knew I wanted to coach because I spent more time with Bill Daller than I did my parents. You know, I'd go to school. I'd see him at school. You'd get done with school, you'd go to practice. You'd be with him at practice. You get done with practice, you'd go and have workouts. You get done with workout, and then you go home, and it'd be like 8 o'clock at night. You'd see your family for an hour and a half or whatever and go to bed and start the day over again. And I just I think from all that, I knew that I wanted to coach. And then when I got into college, you know, I think that's where the foundation of, hey, I want to coach in college, or I want to coach in college or pro or something that way, and I wanted to go that route. And then once I got the graduate assistantship, at Eastern Kentucky, then it was, okay, I wanted to stay at those type of levels and up. You know, I think we all find our niche and find our target, and that was, I was blessed to do that. I got to Eastern Kentucky really through I'm the second head coach from a small coal mining town in southeastern Ohio of 4,000 people, but Larry Marmee was the head coach at Arizona State for a while in the 1980s, and he played at Eastern Kentucky, and that was a big piece of kind of me getting an in at Eastern Kentucky was through someone who went to high school with my dad who was a head coach at Arizona State. It's just amazing how certain things tie back to each other, and you know, I would have to thank him first and foremost for being able to get to where I got to in the profession.
That's athletics, though, isn't it? It's unbelievable how that works.
Yeah.
Was it always going to be football?
Yes.
No other sports?
You know, probably the sport, though, that growing up I might have been best at was baseball. But what happened was when you got into high school, you know, I loved football, and we had to essentially run track to play football. But you couldn't play both because all of our track meets were at a different location than where the – so you couldn't do both. I would have loved to have done both in high school, but I was someone who could switch hit, and I was a catcher and all that stuff. I would have loved to have kind of done that, but, you know, I'm not going to regret the path that I chose.
Yeah, I'd say no.
I think I would have capped off in baseball at some point anyway.
Yeah. Why defense?
Well, that was kind of I was always my brother was a linebacker in high school. I was a linebacker in high school. I just kind of always lived in that world, in that realm. And really all my jobs in college then have been that way. Now, you study a lot of offensive things and that, but, you know, all the jobs. And then I was very fortunate when I got to be a graduate assistant at Notre Dame. I switched to coaching in the secondary. And so being able to be a defensive back coach under Tom McMahon during that time, who, when he left Notre Dame, he became the defensive coordinator at CU in Boulder. And he passed, I don't know, his maybe 4 or 5 years into his time at CU, he's working for Gary Barnett, and he got cancer and died. He was mm-hmm. a great coach and a great man. And so, but I was blessed because at that point in time, then I learned so much of that. And I was so fascinated with secondary play and all the different things that way that I just sunk into that. And that's where I kind of lived from there.
Tom was here. And, you know, he was one of the best guys. The only thing, he was from CSU. I think he came here from CSU or went to CSU, one or the other. So I didn't like him anymore. But no, it was just one of the finest guys you'll ever know. And that was tragic to have him pass like that. You know, do you miss? We never would see Jay Savelle unless he was in the video room watching tape. We hardly ever saw you. Otherwise,
No, I didn't.
Do you miss that?
I still get it. I think the thing that I'm in a fortunate phase right now is I'm done traveling place to place for a little while. Mm-hmm. So right now I'm able to meet with the defense or the offense. I've spent a little bit more time with the defense here this last couple weeks, but you know today I was with the offense most of the time, and I'll kind of. You know, it's different because instead of being kind of – I'm just a resource now a little bit in certain ways. So it is mm-hmm. different that way where anybody who wanted to find me in the building over the last 4 years, they pretty much just went to the defensive staff room. Mm-hmm. I never was in my office at all, really.
No, no.
And so
– you know, taking over a job, a head job, is difficult. I can't imagine one being any – less challenging than this one in terms of you've been here. I've always felt that it's great if you can keep that continuity, but you kept a good number of your coaches. And so it was as smooth as you can possibly have, it seems to me. And I've been around a long time where we had very rocky starts. You know, Craig's was. I mean, he took over a very difficult time. So that's a good thing. But you did have to replace some coaches, and I was wondering if you just give us a little capsule about your new guys.
Sure. So first and foremost, there was a really good group of coaches that were already here. And so it was real easy for me, you know, starting with the defense in a sense. Like, I knew what Aaron Bowl was as a coach, and to promote him as a defensive coordinator, that was very easy. He was extremely valuable to me as a resource, not only through the week, but also on game days. Brian Hendricks is an outstanding coach. Benny Boyd's an outstanding coach. And then offensively, there was really good coaches. So it was easy to retain that group. And then as far as, you know, Jay Johnson, I worked with for a year at Minnesota, and, he has a really good track record, and he's got a long time experience as a quarterback coach, which was one of the first things that I set out when I was hiring that position was I want someone who's really good at coaching quarterbacks and has done a developmental job on quarterbacks throughout, because I always felt like, you know, like our future here at Wyoming will be about, you know, yet building a great program and maintaining a great program, but also, you know, being at the upper end of the conference quarterback wise, you know, and I felt like that was a big piece of it. And so, you know, I know he's a great person. I know he's a great coach. I thought after his time at Minnesota, by going to Georgia and being on Kirby Smart's staff for a couple seasons, being the offensive coordinator at CU, having the year that they had at Michigan State, in 21, when, you know, with the balance that he has offensively, that was an easy hire for me. I felt really comfortable with that. Jason Petrino, So it was interesting. In 2019, I was kind of in between. I had a lot of different things going on. You know, I was in a process of I was going to, you know, there was a divorce happening and things. And so I set out the 2019 season. And Jerry Kill was the AD at Southern Illinois at the time. And he wanted me to come down and kind of observe or you know, be an assistant to all the staff for a week in early part of September of 2019. And so I did. And Jason Petrino was the new defensive coordinator at Southern Illinois. And so I got to observe them for a week. This isn't something that you know, I've never met the guy at all. So I got to observe him coach, observe him run meetings, observe him game plan. And I knew I had a lot of respect for him, you know, coming out of that. And we had kept in touch. And so when the opportunity came to add him to our staff, and plus the benefit of him having Wyoming ties and his background and everything that way, that was a real easy and comfortable hire because I already knew him. Mm-hmm. And then Jeff Phelps, when we left Southern Illinois as a staff after 2007 and went to Northern Illinois, Jeff Phelps was one of the coaches that Coach Kill retained off of Northern Illinois staff. And so I worked with Jeff 3 years at Northern Illinois and 6 years at Minnesota. And I always knew I had a lot of respect for Oscar Giles. I loved working with Oscar Giles and everything that way. I always knew that if Oscar left here, that my first call would be to Jeff Phelps and in the situation that he was in, and hopefully he would have been interested in it. And, you know, basically Oscar told me that morning that, yeah, he was going to take a job at Houston. 5 minutes later, I got on the phone with Phelps, and I think he had to call me back. He was doing something. About an hour later, I called him and told him – or he called me and talked to me, and I told him, you know, situation. And that was quick hire. And, you know, I've known Jeff for a long time. You know, great experience as a coach, great track record as a coach, great person. So I'm really comfortable. Like, I've got a lot of staff here that I've worked with for 4 years at Wyoming and added three people – that I've known for several years. So this isn't, there's nobody here that's, I don't know the character of, I don't know how they operate. I know all these people and it makes me real comfortable.
Yeah. We think it's weird around here if there's not a Petrino. So we appreciate you bringing one back. You know, I've heard you talk about this before, about family, and it is a big thing to you. And you want your coaches to make sure that they're giving their family time, but you have lovely daughters, two lovely daughters, yeah. And one of them spent some time with you not long ago at a concert, and I do this with my son all the time, and there's really, for me, no better connection, and we're both in athletics, he's a baseball coach, but it's not the same connection until we go to a concert together. And so you guys went to see U2 at the Sphere in Vegas. I can't imagine that experience. That had to mean a lot to both of you.
Yeah, my daughter Miranda in early October sent me a video of something and said, "Dad, I want to go see U2 at the Sphere." I didn't even know what the Sphere was. She sent me this video, and I'm looking at it, and I'm like, this looks kind of cool. And so I start looking into this, and it's October, and so let's start kicking around this idea. And their concerts, you know, they had a set list of them, and I think they were going to end like in January. And then they added more dates in December, and I'm like, we can get this done. And but I also was kind of surprised she's just turned 17 and how big of a U2 fan she is. And
yeah,
and I love U2, and so I was like, okay, this is kind of cool, I want to do this. And the best thing about it, and that I can say, is that, like, when I'm gone from this earth, she'll always remember that weekend. And it was one of the coolest things ever. Plus it is a great show. It's the Sphere is incredible. But just the whole thing to it, it couldn't have went more perfect. I was so glad I was able to pull it off. It was something that when I decided to do it, actually during the season, I asked Coach Bowl, I said, hey, when we got to early December, before I even got this job, I was like, you know, hey, I want to take, you know, this time. And okay, you know, well, he already knew it.
He was okay.
Yeah, he was okay with it. So it was all good.
Yeah, that's a great experience. Now you owe one to your oldest daughter.
Yeah, I know. My youngest didn't want her to go because she's not a U2 fan. So I have to now take my oldest daughter on some kind of a trip here, I guess.
That better be good, too.
I know. I got pressure on me. But no, it really, when I came to Wyoming, they were still living in Minneapolis at the time. And, so I told them, hey, I've got a chance to take a job. It's a really good job. But I'm going to be moving away. Are you guys okay with that? And, both of them I got the blessing from both of them. And I wouldn't have been here if either one of them was going to be, if I had a concern that either one of them wasn't going to be good with me being gone, then I probably wouldn't have come. And so the fact that they gave me the blessing and we've been able to keep as close as what we are, with me living away from them for a period of time, I couldn't be more fortunate that way.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Good decision by them. Good decision by you, I would say.
it worked out.
Yeah, it worked out. We have talked about all the positives of having so many of your assistants with you and knowing them. That had to be a big help in the recruiting situation this year.
Well, I think – so what happened was when Coach Bowl, essentially when his retirement was announced, there wasn't that long of a period of time to when I got announced, right? But for some people, when his retirement got announced, that was kind of – they didn't see the second part of that right away. And so the fact that me – being promoted as quick as I was, I reached out to all the recruits that day, and the ones that I specifically needed to talk to that night were the offensive recruits because I hadn't spent as much time with them. But the reason that a lot of these guys came to Wyoming was the fact that we've got so many great people in the entire building, from the strength staff to the academic staff to our equipment staff and training and then the rest of the coaches, that when a lot of these guys found out that, hey, everything's really going to be kind of in place, they were much more at ease. And we lost one committed player who was from Texas and got offered by TCU. And that was all we lost. And so I was really fortunate that way. The strength of the staff, take a Braylon Jenkins. That was my first home visit as a head coach. A big piece of Braylon Jenkins coming to Wyoming was the fact that Joe Tripodi was still going to be the offensive line coach. Mm-hmm. And so we were blessed that way.
That's the portal, too. These Wyoming Cowboys didn't flock to the portal. So that had to be also the recruiting, but the portal as well, big positives.
Big positive. We didn't lose – we didn't lose really anything that was going to be major contributions to us this year. I'm excited about, the fact that we've got our whole team, that nobody left, and the fact that so I'm excited about that part of it. I think the reception that I got from the team out of everything was one that, okay, I appreciate your loyalty and faith in me. What I've got to do is break my back for you and do everything I can to make this the best team possible going forward. And so, it's a shared experience. I think, when we talked on defense all along, whenever we would have unit meetings, things like that, the emphasis that we always made was that we're all in this together. This isn't there's no ego trip here. There's no I and, some coach that stands up and wants to pound his chest or anything like that. We're all in this together. We didn't have cameras in the room when I got announced. And part of that's, I'm not slogan guy and me guy and the whole deal. I'm just me. I went down in the weight room today. I worked out, had my hat on backwards, and I got to see, 40 players in there at that point in time. And I get to see them in a different way than just having them in a football meeting or have them in up in my office or something. And But I'm a people person, and I spend a lot of time with our players, and I think they're comfortable with the fact of me being the head coach.
Mm-hmm. And you feel good about satisfying the needs through the recruiting class. Obviously, you had mentioned that earlier.
Yeah, I thought this was our best recruiting class, start to finish. You know, obviously Coach Bowl had a big part of that, you know, too, because he was the head coach for a majority of the time. But I thought that we hit on so many big needs. I thought we got a couple tremendous tight ends with Jake Wilson and Hunter Kallstrom. I think we did very well on the offensive line. When I became the head coach, we were going to sign a quarterback every year. You know, we needed to do that. And so we got one in Deion Batiste. The reason I think in today's world, you know, you don't want to be left short at that position. And with transfer portals and stuff like that, you just don't know when it's going to happen. And so you better be protected at that position the best you can. And we'll sign a quarterback every year in that regard. I thought defensively, you know, to augment – what we had from a year ago, where I thought we signed a really good defensive tackle group, and that we signed three linebackers this year that I think are really talented players. We signed some corners that I think are really talented. I was just excited about the overall group. And then I think with what we did transfer wise, picking up Evan Eller for a year as a linebacker, he can bridge between where we're at now and with the freshmen coming in. I thought that was an important, you know, signing for us. TK King, I'm very excited about. A lot of speed, you know, can be a dynamic player for us. And DJ Jones, I just love. I love to death. I mean, he's just a mature kid, could play a lot of different – mature kid, he's a mature man, that he can play a lot of different things for us, you know, running back-wise. He'll be on – I mean, we'll get a lot of value out of him. And so I just thought that we are able to help the team for the now – but also the team for the future as well.
You know, it's just amazing how the process goes. You've had the recruiting now. Spring ball is right around the corner. And general, what do you want to get out of this spring ball, your first as a head coach?
So this falls in line with everything that we told the team. We had a team meeting the first week that they were all back, and it was my first team meeting really is the head coach in that regard. And so you know, I laid out expectations and the fact of how we operate and what we're going to do, and our biggest thing to it is the fact that we want to only win the day, like take one day at a time. Mm-hmm. and it's about our actions and behaviors that create habits, and those create results. And so when we get out in the spring, it's just, let's get better. Every day, let's just get better in that one day. And that's all I'm focused on. I'll focus on practice one, and we'll worry about practice two when it's time for practice two.
You have a philosophy, and you probably don't have time to go through all of it, but what will you tell the Wyoming fans that this Cowboy, their Cowboy team, is going to be like when they take the field next fall?
We want to... Well, I mean, first and foremost, we want to embody the state. You know, hardworking people, never give up, fight. You know, we're going to – I mean, it's going to be – you know, essentially, it's going to be when we go in there, it's like the octagon, right? We want to go in, close the cage, and for 60 minutes we want to make it a living hell for the opponent. That's really what we want to do. And so we are going to play a physical style of football, but within that, we know, I mean, we got to be balanced. We got to create explosive things and all that. I get all those things, but we want to be a team that people really don't want to play. And that's the standard of what we're trying to get. And it's everything that we talk about we've got it in us to be better. Right, and we need to become better, and that's, we want to embody the state. I mean, it's a tough, hardworking team that never gives in, and we're going to fight and fight and fight, and that's what we're going to do in practice too. I mean, we're not fight, but I mean, we're going to it's going to be some contact. So it's going to happen.
We're looking forward to it. I know you're looking forward to it. We really appreciate it, Jay. Thanks for taking the time. Head coach Jay Sauvel with us today. We'll talk with him maybe during spring ball as well, and look forward to that. So thanks, man.
Appreciate it. Go Pokes.
Yeah. And everybody, thanks for listening. My thanks to Nick Seaman for his help as usual. Until we meet again, stay healthy, everybody. Hey, thanks, everybody. Appreciate you listening to Conversations with Kevin.